The Unconventional Therapist Guide to Nothing.
Hey everyone, we are the Unconventional Therapists, and this is your guide to nothing, where each and every week we take a topic, theme, or thing, overanalyze it, and make it all make sense in the scheme of life, living, and mental health. My name is Dave, and I am joined here with my co-host, Greg, aka Greg Stolfus. I'm trying to think of an Amish name.
Gregadiah.
Oh, Greg. No, that's, is that Amish? No.
I mean, is it not?
Yeah.
Ishmael.
I was trying to think of a good last name.
I think anything from the Bible is fine.
Stolfus.
They go with the Bible, I think. So what are the Amish? Well, I mean, what are we talking about here? Let's do a quick overview. The Amish are obviously an Anabaptist religion, and we'll get into what that is a little bit. It's kind of important. But they dress plainly. They refrain from modern amenities and generally keep to themselves, but like on the next level. But before they commit fully to this lifestyle, they are allowed to preview the English culture. That's what they call us, the English.
Yeah.
Through they're allowed to get a chance to peek into our debauchery through something that they call Rumspringa.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to do a quick little history here, Jacob Amen. I mean, that's the guy's little names, like Amen, right? I mean, this is going to be a staunchly religious figure. And he was a Mennonite leader, and all Amish are Mennonites, essentially. But this Amish is just a sect of Mennonites. And he had some controversial views. So he thought that all liars should be excommunicated. But I think that's kind of crazy, Dave. What do you think? Like, lying can sometimes
all
be
liars.
Good.
Yeah, it's very strict. But I mean, doesn't that represent... So you said they're all Mennonites, but the Amish are more strict than Mennonites, right?
Yes, yes.
They're so, like, I mean, that kind of is like... The fact that he says that, it just kind of is leads into all the strict rules that they have to abide by.
I always think of when people are like, lying's bad. I always think of that example where it was like, if someone was going to knock at your door and say your parents were home, and someone said, are your parents home? I'm about to murder them. And you said, no, you're a liar, but you're a good liar. So come on, Jacob Amon.
I've never heard of that example before in my life.
Might have made it up.
Who told you this?
I don't know. It works though. So he also thought that all people should dress uniformly and never trim your beards, which is ironically, they do trim their beards in a weird way.
Yeah, because they have like, they have these weird neck beards.
They do this thing where they're anti-mustache. That's true.
But they're also anti-cheek beard, front chin beard. It's like all on the bottom.
The original
all
chin
their
strap.
Neck.
It's like a thick chin strap.
It's a neck strap, though. It's like below. If you look at it, it's like almost below the chin. It's really...
Do you think you could pull that off?
No, it would look ridiculous. I mean, I could grow that. I got a lot of hair on my neck.
I was going to say, you do have a nice neck beard, like neck, nice fill on there. It's yeah. Good. But so eventually the Mennonites fractured into what Amun had created. And this is obviously the sect we know as the Amish. And they immigrated to the United States, the Pennsylvania area, and lots of surrounding areas.
But at Ohio, this time, I think Kentucky, no, Indiana, I'm sorry.
Kansas, there's some in Canada, but there's none left in Europe, though. The regular Mennonites sort of ate that all up. But their beliefs, they ate them up. Who knows what they're doing? If they keep to themselves for a
Animals
reason.
Animals too, apparently.
Well, there's some odd stuff that they do. But outwardly, or at least what they want you to believe, or what they claim to have as important beliefs is their humility, family, community, hard work. There's no electricity. And like I said, they don't like war. They don't allow men to have mustaches because they associate that with war.
And pedophiles.
Is that okay? I feel like...
Oh, my bad.
You know
that was not even intentional.
You know what you could do by saying that? You could cause me to be shunned.
Wow.
And shunning is a huge tool that the Amish use.
Yeah.
It's like a code of behavior, and the Amish use it to, they live a life based more on what you can't do versus what you can do. And this is based in evolution. So if you're shunned, so think of how important that is. If you're shunned in the Amish community, they disconnect you from that yeah. little community.
You're shunned from your family or your friends, everybody.
But think about how important that is for survival, because you are already disconnected from the world.
Yeah.
If you get disconnected again, you're out on a limb. You are on an island. What are you? If you're an Amish person and you're disconnected from your family and your church and your just everything, you know, that's got to be so psychologically tough and just practical. I mean, how would you get food? How would you get anything to eat? It's just disconnection on a whole different level. And it's kind of a scary thing.
You know, but it's not like they're living in an island on an island or anything though. So I, and maybe this was different years in different, you know, time periods, but like in today's society, you know, if you go down to Lancaster, where there's a rather large Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where there's a rather large community, like they're intermingling kind of seamlessly these days through business and work experiences and things like that. So it feels like for that community, at least, it would be easier. I'm sure it's still really hard if you're getting shunned. But I don't think it would have the same level of gravity that might have had ages ago.
You might be right. My family, their idea of vacation when I was a child, they took us to Amish country in Pennsylvania. It was like our vacation. It was the most boring vacation of all time. But even then, you'd be on the road and there would be like a horse and buggy merging into traffic.
You know, I literally go there like once, at least once a year, if not more.
I figured like observing the Amish would be a hobby of yours.
Kind of fun.
It just seems like it.
I know the roads pretty well. Of fun.
Have you had a shoe fly pie?
Yeah, many a shoe. I've gone to the smorgasbord.
Okay, good.
Which is mostly run by Mennonites, I believe. But yeah, no, it's really super interesting, and it's a really interesting place.
Well, all these religions, Mennonites and Quakers and the Amish, they're all Anabaptist groups. And an Anabaptist, just to kind of clear that up, it was a radical movement in the Protestant Reformation. And it claims to be radical, but to me, it made a little bit of sense. That what they're saying is there would be a second baptism. And even if there wasn't a first baptism at all, in some cases, I think the Amish in some sects, they have a first baptism, and that's later on in life. So they believe that infants and young children could not be accountable for their sins until they had a better understanding of what's right and wrong. Unlike the Catholics, Dave, you know, if you die when you're a baby, you're fucked. You're going to hell.
Wow.
Or at least it used to be that way. The Pope just recently changed that amount, maybe a couple of decades ago. But for centuries and centuries, that's the way it was. So this kind of makes a little bit of sense that...
When you say the Pope changed it, what do you mean?
He can just do that. Just change the rules.
You know what? I think those babies, they're no longer going to go to hell. I'm going to make that so they don't go to hell anymore.
Good call, Pope. Good call. I mean, what the hell were they
thinking? It's crazy that no one thought of that all these ages.
And this is radical. This is radical point
of view. It's not radical. That's tubular, dude.
Yeah. So so for the Amish, before you received your baptism and entrance into this, Dave, let's be honest, this is a demanding way of life. You would be given a choice. You could be given a choice to live amongst the English or devote your life to the Amish church. But before this choice, you wanted to be sure. So what the Amish provided for you is they gave their adolescents a chance to test drive the English culture. And this is when we step into Rumspringa.
Yeah. So Rumspringa is a period of time, usually starts around the age of 16, where the Amish youth have a chance to experience greater freedom. And basically during this period of time, they are not under the control of their parents, mostly on the weekends. And they're not under the authority of the church as of yet, because they're not baptized. So they get to experience a lifestyle, which is actually like a dream for even, I think, quote unquote, English teens.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you ever like see, I mean, and what I'm describing is the more wild and rebellious Rumspringa, which they're not all the same. So, but the one we're going to capture here is that, like, one that might have been depicted in movies or that you might have heard of, where they're at these giant parties or they're doing drugs, they're driving cars, which is obviously not allowed. They're going to the movies, they're wearing jeans, which is whoa.
It really is. When you see, like, when you see images of this, it's just such a juxtaposition of a woman in a dress and a bonnet and a horse hanging around, and they're doing like crank or like these heavy drugs. It just seems, or they're drinking and they're partying and they're dancing. It just doesn't look right. It looks strange, doesn't it?
So some of the information that I've gathered was through, and Greg, I'm kind of assuming because of the comment you just made, was through a documentary from 2002 called Devil's Playground. Did you watch it, Greg?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. So it opened my eyes to this being a part of Appalachia too. It is very, it seems like even if they leave their communities, they're going to be, it's almost harder. It's almost harder out there. And I want to talk about that after. It's not the easy route to leave their communities. So if like, if your choice is essentially, when you're thinking, okay, this is a choice between an easy life and a hard life, maybe that's true. But I think the easy life is staying with the Amish, and the hard life is going to try to make your way out there in the world.
Well, yeah. And I think you're going to, what you're touching on brings up, so that will bring us to one of the discussions I'm sure we're going to have when we give our afterthoughts. But before we get there, let's just describe what Rumspringa might look like. There is, in the documentary that we watched, that was a very specific type of experience that someone might have on Rumspringa. So the individuals on that were talking about all the temptations that the English lifestyle can bring. So that's, they're all smoking cigarettes nonstop. They're, you know, they're going out dressed in like plain clothing, very much in like 2002. It was kind of the end of the era of like those giant jeans that we all wore back in the day. So they were, you know, they were dressed in fashionable clothes for the time. They're drinking, they're doing hard drugs, they're partying all night long. They're like, there's this one scene where there's a giant party in a barn and everybody's passed out in their cars at the end, you know, in the morning, and they're all waking up. Some people are getting sick. It's wild. That's like this most rebellious lifestyle. For a more common experience of Rumspringa, a lot of them still actually do follow traditional Amish behaviors even during Rumspringa. So they don't all go out and just have this wild, rebellious time. So for some, it might be common to do what they call singings. Have you heard of that, Greg?
No.
So it's wild, let me tell you. A group of Amish youth might meet in a home and they will sing German hymns and English gospel songs for several hours and then enjoy some conversation and food.
Oh, dude, that's devilry. I don't love that.
No, it's very safe, right?
Yeah.
It's very safe.
Well, even when you see them in the documentary and they're talking to these quote unquote English kids, what do you think, what these conversations consist of? Because they don't really have anything to base.
Yeah.
Like, are they talk about scriptures or joke about what? That?
So I bet a lot of them, I bet they have familiarity with other youth in general, just from being in those communities, because sometimes it's unavoidable that they might see other people their age, right?
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't be able to talk about an episode of Fresh Prince. Like they would be all
so
those.
They talk about drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They talk about getting messed up at a party.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about dating. So that's also a time where some might meet a partner. They might start having like dating, and that might be someone they try to bring back to the church with them.
I think that it makes perfect sense that they would go wild, because if you think about, I remember my father telling me like, watch out for the girls in Catholic school because they've been repressed all this time and they're going to explode when they get out of school. And this is like that same, it's like they've been pulled back by a rubber band so tight. And once they've given the tiniest bit of freedom, they're going to explode into the world, but they don't have a sense of, you know, they're naive to the world. They don't know about these drugs right away. They don't know about the dangers of the world. They're thrown into this place, and it's like they're very vulnerable, which is
so we're saying. So I just kind of want to keep reiterating this. This is like a certain type of person, because Right. Not everybody is going to do this. There are some people who are going to play it very safe. There's some people who will go into Rumspringa very much knowing what their total, like their final outcome is going to be, that they're going right back to the church. But what we're trying to highlight is that wild outcome where like the individual really experiences Rumspringa and maybe makes the decision not to go back to church. And what you were just describing, Greg, is a lack of street savviness, because how can you have street savviness if you've never had any experience on the street?
Right.
Right.
I know what I think this is, though. It's making me think of, which I think is actually really healthy, and maybe our own culture can benefit from something like this. It seems to me like this is a sort of a rite of passage, you know, and I can't even think of what exists in our culture.
We do have ours.
What is it? Like getting college.
College and spring break.
Okay. College. I could see that. This is sort of, okay. I was going to thinking of like, I was really hard having a hard time.
But Craig, what age were you when you went into
boot camp? Navy? So yeah, that I was 18. So that was certainly a rite of passage.
And you and I had a different rite of passage.
Yeah.
I turned 18 and me and my friends drove straight to Montreal and partied like crazy.
I guess that's a rite of passage, but I feel like there should be something that you're almost forced to do in a way. Like, remember in the movie 300, this is just, now I'm just going off the rails here, but remember that kid had to do something. He had to go out into the woods and live out for like a few days. And now that's a rite of passage. There is nothing like that anymore. And there's no, and I think that we see stunted adolescence more than ever now, because there isn't that thing that's, and maybe part of our rite of passage is moving out of the house or whatever it is, but there, what's that thing that separates adolescence from adulthood? What's that marker? And I think it's important. And I think they have it, was when they come back, they almost immediately settle down into families. They either decide to be Amish or they decide to go live with the English. But either way, they've made a huge decision and they're on a different path.
Yeah. So I mean, I think we have rites of passage, like different rites for different people. I think we don't have that clear cut, like everybody has to do this, which I think is also healthy, because how can we say that that's like one thing is right for everybody? And that's where, like in the case of the documentary we watched, the individual who got the most screen time was someone who went down a very difficult path and got involved with very hard drugs. He was arrested after the documentary. I read like an update and he was arrested again. So for break, I forget if it was burglary or something like that. But he just struggled. He struggled significantly. And one of the things he said early on in that documentary, he goes, how do I go back after I've had all these luxuries? And as he's smoking a cigarette and he's like, you know, he's having a drink and he's like, how do I go back to that lifestyle after I've experienced all this? It's like, he goes, every part of me thinks I should go back, but like, I don't know how I can.
Well, it just speaks to the sort of arrested development that these kids had. Like this guy, he's severely addicted to drugs, but before this he's what, chasing butterflies, he's counting leaves and milking
cows. They're working very young.
And so if not for this Rumspringa, I mean, what would have been his fate? It just seems like, I don't know if
I bet it would be one of, so if they didn't have Rumspringa, they would have been forced into what their lifestyle is, right? So for some, that might be totally fine. For others, just like anything else, I'm sure that they would be depressed, feel like they're somewhere they don't belong, feel rebellious against their own, you know, what they're in. So I think the whole point of this, the whole point of Rumspringa is we're presenting you with choice so that you can experience what you need to experience and then make the choice to come back. And their idea is, if you made the choice, the chances are you are going to be more likely to obey our standards and the authorities, right, of the church.
Well, because essentially it's almost insidious, though, because they're like, you're 16 years old, go out into the world, and if you can make a path for yourself in the next, I don't know, 6 months, year, whatever it is.
For some, it's a few years.
Like, yeah, I mean, you've got till 21.
The kid was saying Yeah, exactly. Something
that's
like
till
that.
21. But it,
I don't know if still, it's like a hard deadline.
If I'm like, Dave, get out there. You're 16. Go make a path for yourself. And if you can make a better life than you have here with everything taken care of, then, you know, good on you. And maybe they see like, wow, it's really hard to get started. And it's just easier to back up into the Amish thing. I think there's a couple of things going on here. I think one main theme here is for some, this does work out for them and they do join the English culture. And it's the idea is that sometimes you have to forget who you know you are to become who you're supposed to be. And that's a difficult thing. Like you've been this way your whole life. And is this meant for you? I don't know, but it's going to take some vulnerability and it's going to take a difficult decision to try to do something else. Like the choice to stay Amish is a complete vaccination of anxiety. It's if you go back to being Amish, you're in a way you're saying to yourself, I can't make it out there and I have to come back home. And that's what solidifies you into that culture. I think that's,
I don't know if I agree with that though.
Okay.
Because this is the lifestyle they know. And I'm going to assume they've lived 16 years in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume if they choose to go back, maybe some are go back because they're afraid, but I would assume some go back because they actually understand the point of that, of their church, the point of their community, which is we are special. Mm-hmm. That is their viewpoint. They are special. They have some special connection to serve Christ, right? And they feel that within their community, they're doing the best they can to serve that mission. And I think for some, I would assume that they would go back because they believe that they find out ultimately they believe that to be true. And the experience they had didn't feel right for them.
Sure. I agree with you.
They don't just lose their religion because they leave. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. But I think that it's sort of set up, it's almost like they're set up to fail because they're indoctrinated in these ideas. They've only had an eighth grade education. So they go to school until they're in eighth grade. And then because they're told that knowledge gives you pride, but what would knowledge at that time give them? It might give them a better shot at doing well out in the real world. I think that it's easier for them to stay Amish. I think that takes away all the anxieties of the external world, all the fear of the external world. And it's that whole idea, like maybe that's a good thing, but I will say some good things about the Amish, but maybe it's a bad thing because if you're going to grow, you have to be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there and
see what happens. Thinking individually.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite of community.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They go for them to grow individually does not match that mission of serving Christ as a group of people, as a special group of people who are on the same mission together. So there is no room for pride. There's no room for vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message is,
so there's no room for
experience. Yeah. There's no room for individualism. Go experience individualism. See what you think of this. And if you choose to, that if you decide that that's not for you and you believe in the mission we have here, come back to us and join us. But this will be how we move forward for the rest of your remainder of your life.
It's sounding very culty right now. Sounding very isolating.
Most religions aren't they?
I guess, right? So especially the more radical you get. So, I mean, we're talking about isolation here for sure. No media, no external ties to what's going on in the world.
Here's the difference. I mean, and I guess it's not a difference. We have talked to other. We did talk to a cult that actually did let people come and go, but like, there is no. I mean, it's very clear what you're getting into.
It's true.
Like when they go back, they're very clear of what they're going back to and what their life's going to be. They're not being held to any like ultimatum. Like you're at this point in your life, you're going to have to do this act or anything like that. It's like, but this is going to be your lifestyle for the remainder.
But if you do choose to stay with the English, you will be shunned.
Yeah.
So you will lose that. So even when we do that, like if we take off and we go to college or we set out on our own, our parents are like, listen, if you decide to go to college, make sure you really make a good decision because you will not come back. I will not be your mother. You're going to fucking hell. You know what I mean? So it makes the decision a lot bigger. It really does. And not to say that there's all what the Amish have to offer is all bad, because I think there's a lot of good messages there. I think the idea of focusing less on the external world makes it possible for a little more gratitude for the things that you do have, you know, seeing what other people have creates this envy in you. And we know that more than anything, that with social media, and you crave more. And the Buddhists would say, if you can get rid of that craving, which is essentially what the Amish have been able to do, get rid of that craving, get rid of that envy for others, then you've reached some form of enlightenment.
So the thing that struck me, and this is just because recently I was learning a little bit about like the Soviet Union, and was thinking, this experience sounds like communism versus capitalism. And especially around the time when communism started to fall, right? And because their members wanted, you know, the people wanted some element of consumerism within their society. And it's almost like this is their way of like satisfying that to some extent, knowing that if we don't offer this experience, the temptations will be so great for some individuals that we will end up losing people because they will do things that will cause them to be shunned. Mm-hmm. So like this allows them a little, so this is where it's good. This allows choice. It also lessens temptation because you get an experience with those things that you might crave. And in their eyes, they're probably like, those things aren't tempting enough to keep somebody. In their opinion, their religion is the most important thing. So like, go ahead, experiment. Why it's bad, though, is that lack of, like we were talking about, that sheltered lifestyle they've led up until that point. So it's super dangerous. You're 16. It's the first time you're getting these experiences with a lot of these things you have no knowledge of. And now suddenly, like, you're super reckless and you make really poor choices that could be devastating to your life.
It seems to me more like a calculated illusion of choice than it is an actual choice. Because if it was an actual choice, the option to return, so you can return and then get baptized and commit to the Amish, but you can't decide to live with the English and then still come back and visit. And if you need anything or down the road, it doesn't work out, those ties are severed. So it is a literal traumatic event. Like, yeah, you would be severed from your community, severed from your old life. There would be a who you were before and who you are now. And I think that's why the Amish still exists, because otherwise Rumspringa would empty them of their adolescence every year or whatever.
I also think that those really firm and rigid rules that they have are another reason they exist. Because if they didn't have firm and rigid rules, they would be bending so much. They would not exist anymore. They'd be a fraction of what we know of them. They would, right, their rules, like most churches we see nowadays that started with one message and then all this through time have had to adjust their messages, which I agree and I appreciate that, how they translate into things that are happening into modern society. I think that's important. The Amish never did that. And that's why it looks exactly the same as it did ages ago.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. It does make sense. But why is it, why has it, it's diminishing though, or that's what it seems like anyways, because
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you. I don't know those stats, but what I have experienced is like kind of what I'm saying. It does feel like there's more intermingling, which also I wonder how much of that is influenced by society's more recent interest in the Amish community, meaning like, I think we've all always been curious about them, but like we're now, you know, there was all these shows suddenly popped up in the last decade or maybe even more that like were highlighting them or even like putting twists on them, like Amish Mafia.
Maybe. I watched Amish Mafia.
Yeah.
I watched it and I didn't know. Did you know it was scripted? It was very disappointing.
Oh, I assumed it was, because it was just so off the rails. But then there was Breaking Amish, which was basically this, or others that were shunned and showing their lifestyle and showing. But like, I think we all, I think the quote unquote English get a kick out of seeing that, seeing people who have never had experiences wearing like plain clothes. Suddenly they're like, they feel like they're doing something wrong, putting on a bathing suit, showing a little skin. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. They've got that Amish guilt. And if you think Catholic guilt's bad, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Right? It's,
but I feel like it's almost like our society is like pushing them more.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're infiltrating a little bit. We're invading and to, I don't want to say we're exploiting them, but we're kind of exploiting them.
Well, I mean, you have to, there has to be some kind of, and if you want to call it communist versus like capitalist, it's like, there has to be on either side, there's always some kind of corruption in the, with the furniture that they make and the shows that they appear on. Yeah. And the there's money in these communities. And I wonder if that's going to be the rift. I wonder if money.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. It's like you said, with like the business aspect, like the furniture making.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money made off that.
People
love Amish furniture. There's a lot of individual growth monetarily that can happen from that. And how does that fit into their whole, you know, ideology? I don't know.
Yeah, like when you go to Cardi's and you're like, why is this table $4,000? They're like, oh, the Amish made it. And you're like, all right, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I'm in. Yeah. So it'll last forever. I mean, they have these weird building like elf secrets. You know, there's also, I saw a couple of things. There's some inbreeding. Have you seen these claims of Amish have six fingers on one hand? I went down a rabbit hole with some of this stuff, and maybe I should back off of that because I don't know how
a little slanderous.
Yeah, it could be. Well, let's take a little
bit. But Greg, here's the important thing. It's like we talked about earlier. There's a lot of different sects of Amish and different groups. So you know, I don't want to say something and like make it seem like that's a blanket statement for all of the sects of Amish.
Well, you know what's beautiful about this. They're not listening.
We hope.
We can say whatever we want.
Unless they're sneaking or they're on Rumspringa.
If they're on Rumspringa, yeah, they might be checking this out. It'll be the first thing. I cannot wait to be free of cutting all this corn. I don't know if that's the thing that people do, cut corn.
Maybe they miss cutting corn.
So I can just listen to these podcasts.
So forever, I was like so intrigued by the idea of somebody going absolutely wild on Rumspringa and like, and the risks involved, like getting addicted to drugs, dealing drugs, all that stuff. And it was because I had watched that documentary like a long, long time ago. And it always stuck with me about, you know, but I think that was also very specific to the time. I think that was like something people were talking about, like people, kids going out on Rumspringa and like getting addicted to drugs. I think that was like a thing that people were talking about. But now as an adult, I'm sitting here and I'm more intrigued by the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, imagine that you have this opportunity for all this freedom, but yet you don't even know what to do with yourself. And you're going around and you're having little gatherings singing English gospel hymns.
No, that's just the 2023 modern Amish. I mean, I'd rather stay at home on my Amish made furniture and pet my cat than go do all this. I have too much anxiety to go do Rumspringa. Like that's what's
or
coming.
It's just like the idea of like, I don't even know where to start. Here I am. I have all the freedom in the world and I literally don't even know what to do.
That's that Kierkegaard thing. It's the way you articulated it with the Netflix thing. I mean, that might be what happened with me. It's too much possibility for me to even make a choice. Just, there's like, I could do this, but I think I'll just stay put. It's paralyzing. Yeah. It can be paralyzing. I think we've got to do a quick touch on pop culture. Now, when you think of Amish and you think of pop culture, besides The Devil's Playground, which is a great little documentary, and thank
Witness.
You for... Oh, okay, so we went a different way. What it Witness?
With Harrison Ford?
No. Nope. I was thinking movie. For Richer or Poorer with Tim Allen and... Oh, man, what was her name? She was the waitress of Cheers. I'll never think of it. Or, most importantly, Kingpin.
Oh yeah, Kingpin. Yeah,
great. One of the greatest Amish movies of all time. Amish slash bowling.
My good friend's dad was in Kingpin, and he has a line.
Kirstie Alley, by the way. But yeah, because it was made. Those are Rhode Island.
Yeah, directors. The Farley brothers made Kingpin. Yeah.
I mean, this is way off topic, but it's just outside Providence, one of the most underrated Farley brothers. Maybe it's just because it's.
Yeah, I know.
It's a Rhode Island Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's like the only one I haven't watched. So when I think of Amish, another thing that always strikes me is, you know, we mentioned the beard, but like, let's not also forget to mention the haircuts. Like, they have mastered the bowl cut. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let me just ask you this. What happens if you have hair like mine and I can't do a bowl cut because I have curly hair? I don't think I've ever
shunned.
Seen a curly haired Amish person. I'm going to have to Google that, actually.
Curly hair is the devil, dude. That's what they would say. I mean, I hate to tell you.
I'm envious of your bowl cuts, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Once they were like, you have to lose the mustache but grow the beard, I'm out.
So they ride the horse and buggies, but also they ride scooters.
Okay.
Pretty frequently.
Razors.
Razor scooters. And they do sick tricks too. It's pretty awesome. But that's pretty common, seeing them on their scooters going around. And it's like older people, young kids, all that stuff. It's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. And it was strange. I remember being a kid and being there and seeing in traffic, there would be a couple of buggies mixed in with the cars. And I think it's a cool thing. I don't know. I'm glad they're around, I guess I should say.
Lots of poop on the road.
You know what they should do is allow people, like, we should get a Rumspringer from our regular lives and try being Amish. Like, can we try that?
Yeah.
I mean, we
definitely would learn a thing or two.
Yeah. Sure. Take me home.
I do think, though, that Rumspringer is like our version of that. Is that we graduate high school and a lot of individuals, not all of them, but like some will experience that freedom that comes with, like, we're 18 now. We have some access to things, not all the access in the world, but we still get stuff anyway. And a lot of people kind of like act out, right?
Sure.
For a period of time. But we don't have like a big choice we have to make. We just have to, at some point, hopefully get our lives together and like start to carve a path for ourselves. But because we don't have a hard deadline, for some individuals that's super hard, and some people just never do. And I think that can be challenging for our society.
I think the problem is they're not allowed to. It's important. It's very important to be at that age of adolescence and make a choice. But, you know, we're all constantly telling people, yes, make the choice. And if it's the wrong choice, you learn from it and you move on. But in this case, you're not allowed that freedom to make the wrong choice.
You are stuck on the shunned.
I don't like the shunning.
But you won't make a mistake because you'll know the rules, Greg.
That's a horror movie in itself, the shunning.
The outside temptation will feel so not important to you because you know what your mission is. You know what you're serving. Like, you know your role. I feel like it seems like, I'm sure if it happens, I'm sure it's a huge, huge thing, but I'm sure that it, like, being able to stay in your role is probably a lot easier than we actually think.
Mm. You're speaking like you are a Rumspringed Amish person. You're going to be the big reveal at the end of the podcast episode.
This is another one of those ones where I'm like, there is some good stuff here, but then there's some stuff that I can't agree with. Mm-hmm. But like, I love the idea that they don't baptize because they don't feel like an infant or a child
can great.
Make a actual decision about how they want to serve the rest of their lives. I think that is one of the most like refreshing and responsible things I've ever heard.
Waiting and also you
actually get some experience.
Your self-worth shouldn't rely completely on the external world. I think that's great too.
Yeah.
I think
there's some good stuff.
There
here.
Are some good stuff. And I bet you there's, so, I mean, I wonder what the rates of depression and anxiety are inside the community. I'm assuming not bad.
I would say depression and anxiety, probably we would see more of like the biological versions versus the existential versions. Yeah, I'm assuming.
How do you know you're depressed if you never heard of it?
Yeah.
Pray over Jimmy, you know what I mean? Because he's kind of bummed out.
And the last thing I want to say is also one of the messages that was stated multiple times about the Amish is they view themselves as special people, right? And I love the pride they have in themselves and their community because they feel that they are so dedicated and they are so hardworking. And like they pride them. They really have pride in all the aspects of their community versus these are just a bunch of set rules that we have to obey. Otherwise, we're going to hell. It's less that message. It's more of we are special. We are chosen. We have chosen this path. And I really admire the pride that they have in themselves.
Well, I appreciate how you can be so accepting of a culture. And I think that's great because essentially we all, whether you like to admit it or not, live under a social contract.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
In the United States, in other countries, of course, like there are laws that govern our behavior. And just because they look and seem different than what's going on in the Amish communities doesn't make them they have to exist.
Theirs is just in your certain, face.
Right.
Right.
They have to exist in a certain set of laws and rules so that whatever their community is that they've agreed upon can continue to thrive. And we do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think there are some beautiful things about it. There are some certainly limiting things about it. And that could just be my lack of understanding of what it was like. I would love to get an interview with an Amish person. Now that, just to see like, maybe even give them like a PHQ 9 or some kind of inventory for depression or anxiety and just see where they fall as opposed to like where the average, you know, American falls on that scale. That'd be interesting. I mean, where do you think they would?
Do you ever have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Yes, it's really hard to wake up at 3 a.m. and
get
to my daily duties. Okay.
Well, around the 11th hour of work, we have lunch. And it's like
some of the stuff that I don't ascribe to that is like part of the Amish community was there, you know, they very much believe in gender roles.
Oh, yeah,
Women are the, you know, the weaker gender. So they have some very old fashioned views of things. And I'm sure the more we dig into that, the more it would look problematic. But like I said, overall, I just admire the pride they have in themselves. And
again, cultural relativity, we can't force, or at least always force what we find culturally appropriate on other groups.
And the pride that they have, I feel, is because they allow choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people, if they were forced into their lifestyle, I bet that pride would not be real, but the fact that they actually are choosing this lifestyle makes it they're owning it, right?
Well, hopefully you're doing choosing in quotations because that's where we veer off a little bit.
But Greg,
it is a choice.
Do any of us really have choice? It's all based. Most of us, Amish or not Amish, our choice is based on something, whether it's a past experience, whether it's this idea of our preferences, which are based on other things. All of our choices are based on something.
That's so interesting. So why do you make the choices you make every day? I guess it has to be your values, your morals, that whatever is instilled in you.
Messages
all the time.
We've heard in our upbringing, which experience. Could be family, could be from others around us, experiences,
and theirs
our education.
And theirs is very, their values are going to be ingrained in who they are. So I guess you're right. The choice oftentimes is going to be coming right back to Mama Amish or Daddy Amish.
Yeah.
You know, just get that chin beard over here. Chin beard? Chin? Wow. We got to get some images on those things because those are tough beards. That is a terrible look. If they're going to change anything, start there.
Change the beard and the haircut and you might have two new members.
Yeah. I mean, why not? No. So listen.
I love farm animals, so I'm already.
I know you do. Like, I don't mind manual labor. Leave your credit cards at the door. Just cancel all your subscriptions, your bills, everything. Just you no need for money. Just, I don't know, start making tables and just go with
it. It's like farm stock socializer, a job of the Amish, because I want that job. I'm just going to socialize with all the animals.
I'm happy. Will you be the pet therapist?
Yeah.
I don't know what my role would be. They would be like, this guy can't do anything. Damn it. You know what I mean? I'm the only one to get like I have no skills.
You could save them in the water.
That's true. That's true. I don't think they don't look like a very like a beach community, that's for sure.
Probably not.
I don't even think they have shorts. There's no shorts.
Do they have shorts? I don't know.
I don't think so, but everyone in the Amish community has hairy legs. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Okay. We can leave it there. Yes.
So, Greg, any final thoughts?
No, but yes, I suppose that this thing really does come down to the importance of choice in all of our lives. And, you know, maybe we should be grateful for the choices that we have that are a lot easier. And we can, you know, we're allowed to choose and we're allowed to make the right choice and learn from those choices. If we make the wrong choice, it's okay. We're not going to be shunned for the most part, right? We can come back home. And I know, Dave, you like shunning. I don't.
I don't like shunning. I want to see a stat of how often people get shunned. That's what I want to see. So, yeah. And I do think it's funny. Like, you know, this topic was probably good for us because we did our normal back and forth where I just think it's funny that, like, even on such a variety of topics, we still are able to somehow land on, like, the ability to, like, have a back and forth about it. So,
well, argue, I guess, is what you would call it. And you always so eloquently are like, I'm not so sure I agree with that. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Of course you don't agree with
here
that.
Here we go.
What am I just?
But nobody wants to hear it as two people seeing everything the exact same way, I would assume. So,
no, people
unless
actually,
I'm wrong,
people actually do want to hear that. That's all media is just. If you don't like what that guy's saying, you change the channel and you listen to two people talk about the same thing. And
agree that's what you're looking for. You came to the wrong place, people.
yeah, for real. All right.
So anyways, thank you for listening to our episode about Rumspringa and the Amish. Mm. And we hope you enjoyed this. And hopefully it was a little eye-opening. But if you guys have any experiences that you feel you'd like to share with us, please feel free to share with us on social media or send us an email, anything like that. So yeah, otherwise, yeah, give us some feedback, leave a rating and review if you don't mind, and we'll be forever in your debt.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
You will have a ticket to heaven.
Amen.
Jacob, amen.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, and we will be back next week. See you later.